Thank you, Conrad, for the kind introduction and the kind words. I would say that y'all could believe at least half of what he said about me. So there's that. But on a more serious note, good morning, May First Baptist Church. It is a real pleasure to be here with you. Those are not empty words. I really am excited to be here. And I want you to know that I've prayed for you this week. Every single one of you, of course, not by name, because I know about 10% of you. But that's okay. Hopefully that'll change in the future. But I have prayed that your hearts will be open to the word that is in this book, that aren't my words, but I'm going to try to communicate them to us this morning. So know that you've been prayed for and your heart has been prayed for. Like I said, I'm excited and I'm joyful, but preaching, yes, it is an exciting thing. It's a joyful thing, but it's also a fearful thing for the person who stands in this pulpit, because in James chapter 3, it says, teachers will be judged with greater strictness. So I want you to join me this morning as we approach this word with reverence and awe for God, as I seek to do my best to preach the gospel from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And it does encourage me to know that y'all do that every single Sunday morning. I know Conrad has done a great job of being faithful in the pulpit and pouring his week into preaching this word on Sunday morning. So I'm glad to join you in that. And this morning we'll be in Ephesians chapter 2. And so if you'll turn there with me, you'll grab a Bible. You're probably going to need it this morning because we're going to be in it every second of this morning. The sermon title for this morning is Salvation by Grace Through Faith. And as you find Ephesians chapter 2, you might notice that the subheading in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 is almost word for word the same as the sermon title. And there's a reason for that. Because when you teach the Bible verse by verse and word by word, you don't have to come up with anything new. You just have to teach what's there. So that's why our sermon title this morning is Salvation by Grace Through Faith, as it says on the screen there. So this morning our sermon will have 3 points, and then we'll apply it, seek to do some application, and then we will close. So let's read together Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for that sermon in and of itself as you inspired Paul to write this in Ephesians chapter 2. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach this word. Lord, I know that you are with me. You stand with me today because your word is open. So, Father, help our hearts to see and our lives to be changed from this word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, in verse 1, you notice the first 4 words there. And you were dead. And you were dead. Now, there's a country song you might have heard of by a country singer you might have heard of also. That country singer's name is Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan has a song named I Believe Most People Are Good. Now, whether Luke Bryan is a country singer or not, or whether he's a good country singer or not, that's a sermon for another Sunday. But here's my point in that. His punchline to that song is, I believe most people are good. Now, the message of that song preaches a different message than the Bible does, because we have Romans chapter 3 that says, no one is good, no, not one. Then we have Romans chapter 6 that says the wages of sin is death. And then we have Paul's verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 2 that says, and you were dead. I don't jive with the I believe most people are good because I know my own self. So Paul gives us, and you were dead. So we know that's referring to us being dead spiritually. We were very much alive physically, but we were dead spiritually. And notice also the word used here, were. It's, he's speaking to a group of people that death, spiritual death, was their previous condition, their previous state. So these people had already experienced change, and he is trying to tell them what they have come from because of Christ. And you were dead. And we know he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, and the church is made up of believers, of changed people. So this is supposed to be an encouraging thing, not a downing thing. We were dead. Those of you in Christ, you were dead. You are no longer. I don't want to spoil it for the following verses. But it goes on to say, in your trespasses in sins. Now, the definition of trespass in the Greek form is like a fall or a lapse. Okay, it's like when we think of crossing a property line, when we trespass someone else's property, it's frowned upon. Well, it's highly frowned upon to God when we cross his line. And sin is more of like a state of corruption because of our trespass, like an alienation, a separation from God. And now, the trespasses and sins, this helps us realize about the reality of our condition before Christ. We were utterly helpless, like we sang in the song just before. So not only were we dead in our sins, we were dead in our trespasses. That's like dead. Remember, spiritually dead. He's proving this point here. You know the term dead as a doornail? I really don't know what that means, but I know that when someone says it, it means it's not going to work. It's useless, okay? So you were dead. And then verse 2 comes along, and he's further emphasizing our helpless state before Christ. He's saying this was the pattern of your life. This was your routine. Notice, course of this world. Meaning, like, the world was your standard or your guide in life. So whatever the world, whatever the culture said, whatever the ideas that they spit at you, you're like, that's good enough for me. I'll do that, you know? So the ideas, the attitudes, and the lusts of the world defined the way you once lived, the way we once lived and carried ourselves. That defined us. And then we have this character introduced to us, the prince of the power of the air. This is Satan and his influence in the world. And now he's still influencing disobedience as we speak right now, because he is very much prowling around like a roaring lion. So, as humans, we have a predicament, okay, in this way. We are cornered on every side by the world, the flesh, our flesh, which are sinful desires, and the devil, okay? So now the world, like we've already kind of said, is culture and the influences that are opposed to God, influenced by Satan. And the devil has influence in this world in every aspect. I'm pretty sure I don't have to tell you that this morning. I think you already know that. You probably feel that. You probably came here feeling that in some way this morning. And our flesh, the third thing, is our naturally sinful desires that are drawn to the world. Given those truths, we are set up for failure on every side when we're left on our own, because those things are poised against us. So our flesh causes us to sin when we are influenced by the ways of the world, which is influenced by Satan. Do you see how helpless of a situation that you and I are in without Christ? We can't win. There's no way. Because why? Because you were dead. I was dead. We were dead. Verse 3 is our result of living in the world by the flesh, influenced by the devil. Sinful desires were our life. They were carried out in our body and in our mind. Everything about us was sinful. Now, if you were a changed person in Christ, you still battle that old flesh, but you are now very much spiritually alive because of Christ. And as a result, it says in verse 3, you were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Before Christ, the wrath of God burned hot against you and I. Before Christ, we were the ones that should be punished. And in Psalm 51, verse 3, David writes this. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So upon birth, you and I were just destined for God's wrath. It's not that we start out up here, right? We were dead, spiritually dead. And everyone who has not yet turned to Christ, this is still their current destiny. Now, they're still spiritually dead. So if you know somebody that that is the case of this morning, pray for them. Pray for them this week. Pray for them right now. I won't mind. So here's what I want us to take from this first point of being dead in our sins. For the believer in the room, recognize what God has saved you from, where you were. You have to recognize that. That is so powerful for walking day by day. And consider the power of God. Consider it. And for the non-believer, recognize your current state of spiritual deadness and turn to God, because He will grant you mercy. He is rich in mercy, as we're about to see. So let's move on to our second point for this morning. We're going to get that from verses 4 through 7. Now, verse 4 is the large shift in the passage. Okay, this is where we turn the corner. Notice the language here. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us. But God. So we were dead, but God. Story continued. God has the solution to your spiritually dead state. So we got the bad news before the good news, don't we? People need to know why they need Jesus, because if they don't, if I didn't know, I would still be living according to the course of this world, dead in my sins, deceived by the devil, by my flesh. So this might be hard to fathom. Sometimes it is for me, because I know my sins and I wrestle with my sins daily. It was a battle even this week. Because the God of creation loves me like Zane Smith. What is it about Zane Smith that He loves? Why would He love me? Why would He have mercy on me? How can that even be? Well, it says, because of the great love with which He has loved us. Because He is God, He can do that. Because He sacrificed His one and only Son in our place on the cross we should have died on, that's why He can do that. Because of the great love with which He loved us. Now, I think it's important to define. I'm a definitions guy. I like definitions. Sometimes I make up my own, so you're going to have to guess, okay? But this one's not made up. Mercy, here's what we'll use for definition of mercy this morning. It is not receiving something that you deserve. And in this case, it's punishment. Okay? Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." So, mercy is not receiving something that you deserve. And if you came here today as a struggling or scared or possibly spiritually dead person, I want you to hear that the Lord is merciful and gracious towards you, and He can and He will be because of the blood of Jesus, because of the great love with which He has loved us through Christ. Call on Him. And then we have verse 5, as if verse 4 wasn't clear enough, it says this, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So even when you were in this state of deadness, you were spiritually dead, unable to do anything, He made you alive with Christ. So now, because of what Jesus has done for you and I on our behalf, we are now one with Christ. He's made us alive with Him. And this is possible. Why? Because Jesus is alive right now. We just came off of Easter. We celebrated that. He is alive, and that is why this is possible. He paid for all of my sins, all of your sins, in His body on the tree. He paid that. Wrath is appeased, which means it's canceled out towards us because He looks on His Son's blood for us. So He was raised from the dead. He defeated death. And those who are in Christ, that is your story too. It is all of grace. It says, by grace you have been saved. Grace, heavy on the grace. Now, you know I'm a definitions guy. I like definitions. So we're going to define grace. We define mercy. Now we're going to define grace. And grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. Okay, mercy is not receiving something that you do. Grace is receiving something that you don't. This is probably not new. I'm not here to teach you new things necessarily. I'm here to encourage and remind and preach what's here. So grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. And a big thing that you and I did not deserve is eternal life. because we were dead. We were incapable of doing anything on our own. And realizing that, realizing what grace is and what it does for you and I, it helps keep us humble and thankful for what God has accomplished on our behalf. More, we'll get to that more in verse 8. But verse 6 kind of continues with the resurrection theme here. Notice the language used. He said, says, raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So raised us up from what? The dead. Our spiritual deadness. Seated us with him, where? In the heavenly places. Not like right now, literally and physically, we can probably tell this room is not heaven, okay? But what that does mean is that the future for you is sure. The price has been paid. You have a mansion over the hilltop, as the song says. We have a place reserved in heaven. You have a benefit of being a son or a daughter of God because he has made you alive and raised us up with Jesus. We have that benefit because of what Jesus did for us. So I'm going to say these three things, and I want you to don't yell it out loud, which I don't really know how you roll here, but maybe you do that. I don't know. But maybe just answer to yourself. I'm going to say these three things, and you try to figure out who I'm describing here. Okay? Here's the three things. Made alive, raised up, and seated in the heavenly places. Who am I talking about? Jesus. Ultimately, yes. He was the forerunner in that. All of these point what happened to Jesus, yes, but because of him, this is also for us. We share in his inheritance. Now, the right hand of the Father is reserved for Jesus and him alone, right? But we will be with him in glory. All because of grace. Grace. Heavy on the grace. And then verse 7, what is God's purpose of showing his love and grace to us? Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's grace is unfathomable. It is immeasurable, unable to be measured. He saved you and I so that he could display his glory, his strength, his power, his might through us. We are not the main point. We are the beneficiary of his grace. And then Paul says something more about this in 1 Timothy. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for us real quick, starting in verse 15. It says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, here's the reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever. Amen. So I can take away one thing from that. God did not save me for my glory here on earth. I know that. But I get to live in light and experience the life of being a son of God, having access to the Father because of Jesus. He saved us for our benefit. Yes, he did do that, but it's all for his glory. Absolutely every ounce of glory goes to him. And I think sometimes I'm guilty of this too. Even when sharing testimonies, we can lose sight of this. Because you've heard testimonies that, and whatever God has brought you from, praise God for that. I am not talking down on anybody's testimony. There's no such thing as a boring testimony, whether you were raised in church since you were in the womb or you just came here today, okay? But what my point is that sometimes I think the credit gets stolen from God in testimonies. Because think about this. Has someone ever taken credit for something that you did? How's that feel? Not real good, right? Let us not do that when sharing our testimonies, when speaking of the gospel of Christ, when telling our story. It is all of grace. God did it all. The beautiful part of any testimony is that I was this way, but God. But God. Now I'm this way because of God. So God is the main point, and I know you know that, but I need to hear that as an encouragement, and I know you do too. So let us not steal the show from him. And here's two things I want us to take from this point. For the believer, I want us to know our identity in Christ and give him praise for it, what he's accomplished. Consider what he brought you from, yes, like the first point, and also consider the depths of his mercy and his grace towards you while you were dead. Grace, remember, heavy on the grace. And for the non-believer, realize that in your current state, if you are a non-believer, that you do not have an eternal inheritance outside of Christ. You can't do it. You need the grace and mercy that is shown to you in Jesus. But he is ready to show you much, much grace. And the third point for us this morning is by grace through faith. And I really do think that verse 8 is the key verse in this entire passage. Verse 8 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." So remember, grace, you didn't earn it. You earned death. Because of God's love, though, he showed you grace, the immeasurable riches of his grace. We have this by faith. And now here's what I tell my youth kids all the time. We define faith in this way: believing God. That's a lot different than believing in God, because believing in God, James 2:19 tells us this: "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder." So if you only believe in God, the only thing you've done is put yourself on the same level as a demon. Faith is believing God. True faith trusts that God does what he said he will do. True faith believes Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believing God, knowing deep in your bones and your soul that he will do what he said he was going to do. And he says he will save those who call on his name. True faith trusts God. And then verse 9, man, it reinforces the fact that it's not by us. It says this: "It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we could define our works like our good deeds. Now, please hear me, May First Baptist Church. Salvation is not this: if you do good things, you'll go to heaven. If you do bad things, you go to hell. That is not salvation. That is not what we just read in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay? Somehow, and by the deception of our culture and maybe the influence of Satan, some people still do believe this. You show me what book, chapter, and verse you will find this in. You won't. We are saved by grace through faith. If we could earn it, what are we even doing here this morning? What was this building constructed for? Who in the world did we just sing to? What book is this? If we could do it, we should be singing our own praises, if so, doing our own thing. We were saved by grace. The only bragging rights that you and I have is about how dead we were. Like, dead is dead. Like, when you're dead, you can't get more dead. You're just dead. Right? Dead as a doornail. I don't know. Somebody define that for me later, because I don't know. I know it's dead. Okay? So what can a dead man do? Nothing. Christian, hear me. God gave you life by sacrificing his son, even when you were dead and hopeless. Do not forget that. Do not forget that. And help remind me to not forget that. Because when you stand before God, what is your answer going to be? What is your answer going to be when he says, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" Is it going to start with, "Well, I did"? That's already wrong. Or is it, "Jesus paid it all, and he looks upon you as a blood bought son or daughter because of what he did by grace through faith, which was a gift to you in the first place. By the blood of Jesus. And verse 10 tells us that there's work to do. Okay, we are his handiwork. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Now, of course, we know we don't do good works to earn God's favor. I think we've already nailed that down. But after we are saved, there is work to do. Go and make disciples, not converts. I've heard that recently. I'm like, that's pretty good and convicting. After we are saved, God works good through us, which he has already planned out for us to do by grace, because we can't do any good works outside of the grace he would show us. And here's what I want us to take from point number 3, by grace through faith. For the believer, remind yourself that it is all of grace that you have been saved. You contributed nothing. I contributed nothing. And you and I, we should repent of the times when we thought we did, when we thought that we did have something to give to salvation. Remember who you've trusted in. And for the non-believer, I want to encourage you to stop believing the lie that you can earn your salvation by doing good things. You do not want that to be your answer on that judgment day. So surrender yourself to Christ and turn from your sin, and he will save those who call on him. So as we close, just a couple more things. So you may have heard this morning, and you may agree with me and say, yeah, amen, saved by grace. That's good, but I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you reflected on what that means? When is the last time you have tested your life against the scriptures? And I'm asking myself these same questions. Does your life look grace-filled? Like, is your life grace-filled? Do you really believe that you were saved by grace? Good questions to ask. Like, how do you speak to your spouse or your children or your friends or your coworkers or whoever it might be? Is your speech grace-filled? Would people around you know that something is different about that guy? That guy's weird. Okay, in a good way. This world is not our home. And does the reality of being forgiven because of what Jesus did for you flow out of you? Does it do that? And remember, God has done it all. He has made us alive together with Christ. He has raised us up from the dead, and he has seated us with him and given us our eternal inheritance. And it's all by God's power, by the work of Christ, by God's grace. And we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ only. When we confess our sins to him and repent and turn to a new life in Christ, you will be saved. And after that, verse 10 tells us there's still work to do. Work that he has prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them by his grace. And he has given us the power and responsibility to be able to do it, all because of grace. All because of grace. And before we pray and close this morning, if you have any questions about following Jesus or what that might look like in your life, Conrad will be up here at the front, and I will pray for us, and I believe we have a closing song this morning. Bow with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for inspiring the man to write this so that we can have this very morning and for the rest of our lives, so that we can know that it is not of us that we are saved. The only thing we earned was our death. Lord, let us not boast in anything but the cross of Christ. Father, I pray that the seeds that were scattered this morning do not get taken up by the evil one, they not get put on the rocky soil and blown away, but Lord, they are on fertile ground, and I pray that for my heart too. Father, help this word go forth. The word of God will not return void. It's in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.